Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, it's Martha. Just a quick announcement before we get to the episode. So I'm so excited to announce that Chronicles of Narnia will be in the Chicago Podcast Festival 2018. So if you are in the Chicago area on Monday, November 26th at 7 p.m., we will be recording live at the Beat Kitchen alongside Feminist Folklore, which is also an amazing podcast. So check our Facebook page and the website for details. They will be going up ASAP, and I'm so excited. I would love to have anyone there that can come. It would just make my holiday season. So mark your calendars. Monday, November 26th, 7 p.m. at the Beat Kitchen in Chicago. All right, here's the episode. Hello and welcome to the Chronicles of Narnia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Reddick, and this week we are going to be talking about bringing your nanny or your own children with you to your nanny job. And to do that, I have Erin Loudon. Hi, Erin.
Hi, Martha. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Yeah, very, very good. Thank you.
Oh, good. So Erin reached out to me a few weeks ago, maybe like a month ago, via email, and I loved it. It was so nice to hear from you, Erin. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, no problem.
So if you're listening, please, if you have an idea or just feel like you have something to offer other nannies, that's part of what I'm doing here. And so please, please, please reach out because I would love to talk to you. So back to you, Erin. Let's hear a little bit about your background because it's fascinating.
Right. Okay, great. Well, I'm Canadian. I'm not from the States. I grew up in a small town in Ontario. And in 2004, I just sort of packed everything up and decided I'm going to move to the UK and started off as an au pair in a town called Twickenham. I was there with twins who had just turned four. I spent 3 years with them. They're incredible. Taught me so much in that 3 years. Aww. I had other families, you know, when I dropped the twins off at the school, I did other little bits of sort of nanny work and odd jobs and stuff because it was London and it's expensive to live
right.
there. So I had 3 years with my first guys, and then I moved towns not too far away and had another 4 years with a couple of families. Met my husband to be, and I actually was accepted to start training to be a Met police officer while I was there. And just coming up on my 7th year in the UK, my husband decided to take a job in Dubai, and we packed it all in and off we went.
Wow.
So we did that big move together, and it was great. I sort of planned, I'm not going to do any more nannying, I'm going to try a career change and do something different and have my own child or children. But actually, it turned out there was a need for me, and I had a great time for 5 years in Dubai. I did tutoring, nannying. I did a bit of work for a company as a super nanny, and I worked as a shadow for an autistic boy for a year, which was just wonderful. And then my daughter was born in 2014 and started bringing her to work. That was all great. And we decided Dubai was getting a bit expensive for us and we wanted to make another change. So we packed it all up again and we moved to Canada. And now we're in Montreal. Bring my daughter to work with me still 2 days a week. She comes at the moment. And yeah, nannying, you know, with her has just been amazing. It's been really, really good.
So yeah, that's me. Wonderful. What an adventure of a life you've led.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's all really, really great. When you were accepted to the police, was it a police school? Yeah.
No, the Met Police is the London Police Force, and it's a regular sort of training system for the police. When I had applied, I was applying to be a regular officer, but by the time my application and everything went through, they sort of changed the goalposts, and then you had to volunteer, do your training, volunteer for a year. It was becoming a little bit more convoluted.
Gotcha.
So when the Dubai job offer came up, we just thought, look, you know, if I'm going to give up nannying, which was, you know, you make quite good money being a nanny in London,
right?
Take a pay cut to be a police officer, which still would have been, you know, I still think about it often and think, oh, I'd really like to do that. But, you know, we sort of, let's take this risk and go on this adventure. And if we don't take it, we'll regret it. So, you know, the police was sort of winding down into not quite what I thought it was going to be in terms of, you know, admin and kind of, you know, I wanted to help people. And I'm sure anybody in any police force has the same problem. The space between being able to make change and filing your papers.
Okay, well, awesome. That was so interesting. I love it. Well, great. So we'll get into talking about bringing your own child with you when you are nannying. So how long had you been with your nanny family before you started bringing your own little one?
So I had quite a few, because this was in Dubai, so I had many different jobs. At the time when we decided to start trying, I had one permanent full-time family with a few sort of like evening tutoring jobs. And I had a meeting with the mum and said, this is what we're thinking of doing. How does this look in the future for work and for maternity leave? Because there is, similar to the States, I believe, 2 months maternity leave in Dubai. You know, so if this happens, how does the job change for me? So we had a chat. That family ended up moving back to the UK. So I sort of picked up more hours with my old families. The old families that I'd been with were just like, it was almost a non-issue. It was, okay, so after 2 months, you'll come back. Yes, please, if that's okay with you guys, I'll have a small baby with me. Yeah, no problem. You know, it's fine. They were... the longest one I'd been with was already 3 years at that point, and she just said, well, why wouldn't you bring her, you know?
Aww,
and I thought, oh,
yeah.
Okay, that's great. The different thing in Dubai for us was that all of the families I went back to work for, all of them had a maid or some sort of household help. So for a mom boss or a dad boss to sort of think about me coming with my extra person, my child with me, they already have extra help. So there was a little bit of a buffer that you might, you know, certainly don't have here in North America quite the same way.
Right.
There's other household staff. Also, the kids were of an age, because I didn't have little, five was my youngest. And you know, by that age, it's no big deal to them. You're not taking away from the attention you're giving them in the same way that you are if you have a two-year-old or a three-year-old and they need a different kind of management. So,
right, for sure.
So Yeah, we just sort of approached it with 100%, you know, lay all of our cards on the table. This is what we want to do. Okay, that job ended. This is what we are going to do. Does this work for your family? In every case, I was really lucky. Yes, it does. Okay, brilliant. And then, you know, from 2 months old and up to two when we left Dubai, obviously there's lots of phases and lots of changes. So little things, you know, for each routine had to be adjusted. But it was really smooth, and it was just a matter of communicating with the parents and keeping the lines of communication open so nobody's surprised by anything.
Right, which, I mean, that comes up on this podcast all the time, how important communication is. But, this is an area where I think it's especially important. So you said that you approached the full-time family when you all were trying to conceive.
Yeah.
And then when they moved away. So I guess I'm curious about, because a lot of the feedback I've gotten from Facebook groups and from emails I've received from other nannies is, like, if you are already pregnant, because for some people, you know, it's a bit more of a surprise, potentially. So do you have advice or suggestions about if you're already pregnant, how or when to bring that up with a family?
I think if you're interviewing, for example, and again, this varies from country to country, because maternity leave in the UK and in Canada, it wouldn't be unreasonable for a family not to take you on if you're interviewing while pregnant, or to end your contract when you go on maternity leave, because the time of maternity leave is so long that it's hard on the kids.
Right.
So it's kind of a natural expectation in countries where there's long maternity leave. In Dubai, in the States where it's shorter, you know, it is an option. You could perhaps get cover for the nanny's maternity leave, and then she could come back. So I think the biggest advice is just to be completely open and honest and clear from the beginning if you're in an interview. And, you know, people think 12 weeks, you always wait for 12 weeks to tell anybody. I would say that it's a different job than being in an office. So,
right.
You know, it's a different environment that you're working in, and it's a different service that you're providing. So I think that you have to provide a different communication than you would if you were sitting at a desk all day, or you were working in retail or a restaurant. So I would say the sooner you tell your family, the better it is for them, the better it is for the kids. And if you really care about the children you're looking after, the sooner they know and they can learn and understand and start talking to mommy and daddy and explaining what's going to happen to my nanny, because she's going to start to look different and she's going to get more tired potentially, or she might be a little bit sick some days and not be able to run around after you the same way she used to. And then, you know, because if the children haven't seen a baby around them or you know, experienced all of that recently, it can be really like, whoa, this is different. I don't understand what's going on, you know, and this person is here for me so many hours of the day, and she's changing, and she has to have days off to go to appointments, and, you know, the better you are at communicating that from as early as you're comfortable with. And I'm not saying, you know, that needs to be 8 weeks, 9 weeks being pregnant, but as soon as you feel comfortable, then the other side, the other, like, incredible side effect that you don't even realize until you do it, is that you get so much support from, especially if you've got a, you know, a nanny family that you're close with and you've invested some time and some love into. The support that you get from your mom boss, from your dad boss, from the extended family that you've sort of grown into as part of their children, you know, their lives. The extra support you get is, even if you've got your own mom and dad and you know, you've got the in-laws, it's like adding a whole extra family backing you up, supporting you, wanting to make sure you're okay, looking out for you, which I did. I hadn't even thought about that side of things. And then suddenly I had an extra family like there around me.
I would have never thought about that either. But yeah, that's so beautiful.
It's equally, you know, you could have a family that's like, whoa, nope, this isn't going to work. You know, different laws in different states and provinces and countries, whether they can fire you or not. And, you know, you have to look into your, do your homework in terms of your rights, depending on what province, state, country, whatever that you live in. But right. Communicate as early as you can. Because if you do communicate at 13 weeks and they decide, you know what, it's best to end things now so that we don't put our children through all these big changes and then you're going to go anyway, you know that that's the case. You don't have to suffer through the next sort of 7 or 8 months of a potentially difficult work environment. Because right. then you're not just a nanny who's passionate about your kids, but now you have your own child and, you know, you've got to focus on that too. So it's like adding a third nanny child in a way to your family, someone else to focus on. So it's best you can do that in the most possible positive, you know, happy way that you can. And, you know, as all nannies listening will know, there's nothing worse than working in a home where you're not happy, they're not happy, and there's that unspoken, you know.
Right.
That when you're pregnant.
Oh, gosh.
You know, you can imagine it 100 times. It's just, so, yeah. You know, you don't need to put yourself through that. As a nanny, there are other jobs out there. If it's not going to work out when you do, you know, sort of announce it to your family, it's okay. It really is okay, because there's something else and there's somebody else who's going to go, oh, yeah, we really want a nanny who's going to bring their child to work because we have an only child. So that teaches our child other things that they're not necessarily getting by being an only child. Or we've got two boys and you're having a girl, so that's great. They can, you know, sort of have another experience that we're not going to have another child. So our boys get this and vice versa.
Yeah, that's such a lovely way to look at it. And there are families that are for it and do want that. So, don't be disheartened if your nanny family doesn't think that it will work for them. And I would encourage anyone listening who is potentially nervous about that talk to listen to the Power Struggles with Parents episode with Pascal, because she covers a lot of like really good ways to have these kind of difficult talks. So to get your mind in order for that talk, I think that's a good episode to listen to. And also reading Nonverbal or Nonviolent Communication is a good, potentially a good book to get yourself psyched up if you, like me, love to read when you're feeling nervous about something. because that is how I handle it. So did your, I don't know exactly how contracts and things work in Dubai and or Canada, but if you had a nanny contract, did it change once you were bringing your own child to work?
So in the Middle East, we didn't have contracts, which is why the communication part was so important.
For sure.
And we, you know, you have to keep touching base at each milestone, not milestone, each major change for your own child and your nanny kids. You kind of have to not renegotiate again, but just sort of touch base again.
Right.
And the more you touch base, the easier it is and things become kind of automatic. Like, okay, we're weaning now, so we don't need to rewrite that in the contract, but I'm going to bring a high chair and leave it. Is that okay? I need to wheel the stroller into the house now because it's snowing outside.
Right.
I can't sort of leave her on the front porch when she's sleeping. Is that okay? You know, little things, it's really small things, but you just have to kind of keep touching base on them. It was when I interviewed for my current family, and I'm just about to start doing a nanny share myself here. Mm. It was definitely, it's written into the contract. It's very, very clear. The more you, I feel like the more you have put into your contract that's clear and written down, the better as a nanny.
Right.
But when you're bringing your own child, even more, it's even more important because there's no issues later. For example, is the family going to provide food for your child during the hours and the days that you're bringing your own child? Or will you be responsible for bringing it yourself? And there's, you know, pros and cons to both options. But you don't want to be, you know, feeding your child out of your family's fridge and they're not comfortable with that, or they're like, oh gosh, you know, Aaron's kid eats an awful lot and it's costing us a fortune, you know, which my child is happy to mind sweep the nanny kid's plates at the end of breakfast. But,
right,
you know, or am I going to bring something for my child and the other kids are going to have an experience of trying something different that they wouldn't have, for example. Mm. You know, so that sort of thing. If you can put in what is the plan for when the nanny kids are sick or your child is sick, because, you know, and again, you have to discuss that with the parents, you know, are there parents that vaccinate or parents that don't, and how do you, you know, like it's really complicated. But again, if you just talk about it, so much of these little points come out naturally in those conversations, because now you're a mom. You're not just a responsible adult looking after someone else's kids. Now you're a mom. So you have your own rights to be, well, actually, you know, this is really right. important to me. You know, it's a really sometimes I don't know whether I'm wearing my nanny head or my mom head with either my own child or my nanny kids.
Right.
And, you know, and it's very easy to get confused and to forget to turn off one and be the other. Mm-hmm. So I can't stress enough how the communication just helps, especially if you're new. And you haven't sort of felt out the family, you know, you don't sort of know how things are. Just make it clear. Make sure if it's something that's important to you, write it down. Or something you think, oh, could this be a problem later? Get it written down. Make sure they're on the same page.
Right. Yeah.
Holidays, you know, if your child's in school part-time or daycare or preschool and the daycare closes for, you know, get all of your, like, statutory holidays, Christmas, Easter, all that kind of stuff, because if your child is also doing some sort of care somewhere else, chances are that facility closes from time to time. They have their own days off. So is it okay if I'm bringing my child to work with me Monday, Tuesday? Is it okay if the daycare is closed on a Friday? Can I bring her with me on an individual prearranged basis? That sort of thing is useful, because those things do change.
Right.
You might have grandparent covering your own child for one day a week and they end up in the hospital, or they're sick, or they go on vacation, and, you know, that those sort of things that you adjust to them so easily as a nanny looking after children. But then when it's your own kid, it's an extra, oh, yeah, okay.
I have to think about this now, right?
Yeah, I have one of my own. I need to make sure they fit into these things, but also that I can still do my job properly, because it may not be going into an office and doing a 9-to-5 or having, you know, big high power sales meetings and stuff, but it is still your job, and that's your, you know, that's your livelihood.
Right.
So that's what's paying to feed your child. You know, it's worth putting the time in and the sort of preparation in advance, so that there's some security for you there and you know what to expect as this big change, you know, happens.
For sure. Just out of curiosity, how do you, with your current nanny family, how do you handle if their kids are sick or if your kid is sick?
What, lots of WhatsApps.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you might leave work and you know there's a sniffly, runny nose or a little bit of a fever. They've had a bit of Tylenol, but it's not come, you know, you kind of, you know, because you're there for your 10 or 12 hours a day, you know what you've left,
mm-hmm.
and you know, maybe your husband's picked up your child from daycare early because she's got a fever, or, you know, you sort of, you can, you're in tune to your own nanny kids anyway, so much as a nanny. So you see things coming, and again, it's communication. Okay, what are we going to do? I'm going to message you after I've put them to bed. Okay, let me know, how are they? And, you know, in generally speaking, I don't do a lot of WhatsApping to nanny families after I, you know, sort of after 7 o'clock when I'm at home and my daughter's in bed, nobody has my time.
Right, sort right. My,
but, you know, it's the difference between me getting up at five in the winter, for example, 5:30 in the morning to get my child ready, to get myself ready, and then battle the snow and get to work to find out one or the other is sick and you're not needed, or mum's staying home, you know. So it's, I'd rather have that last WhatsApp at 11 saying, do you know what, you know, I'm going to keep them both home tomorrow, so bring your child, you know, then this is how tomorrow's going to go.
Right, right.
You keep WhatsApping me, I keep WhatsApping you to let you know how my daughter's doing. Like, you know, my husband's changed his appointment at work, so he's going to stay home with her. It's a normal day for me tomorrow. Or I think she just needs, you know, because, I mean, we haven't had chicken pox or anything really bad like that yet. It's been minor sniffles and a bit of a fever and an ear infection, basically.
Right, but right.
Fatigue's just lots of WhatsApps. that's what we do. And my current mum boss is great. Lots of WhatsApps. How are they doing? How are they doing? Yeah, okay, tomorrow will be normal. Or tomorrow I'll bring my child because she's not well. Or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep in touch, basically. Because I can't phone you at 5:30 in the morning and say, actually, right. You know, she's not had a very good night, so I'm not coming today. But if I've let you know the night before, you can kind of be prepared, get some grandparent covered, you know, do what you need to do as a parent with a nanny that's working for you to be prepared for how for the next sure. day will go.
Yeah, that was very helpful. Thank you. Great. So what about discipline styles? Do you have kind of an across the board discipline style with all of your kiddos? Are yeah, let's start with that one.
So that I'd like to say yes, I do.
Right.
but there is no question I am harder on my own child at work than I am at home. It also changes with the age.
Right.
Because when you've got a 2-month-old baby and then you've got another child who's potty training, you know, it's different things. The baby gets left, you know. So there was a lot of time when she was small, when I sort of left her in the bassinet and we had homework to do or we had other things to do, or she went for walks when we'd go to soccer and swimming and skate, you know, all the activities.
Right.
So as she got older, it was whatever the rules of the house are the same. So if mom boss and dad boss have a rule that there's no food near the sofas, or the dog's only allowed in this room, or, you know, whatever it is, no chocolates until such and such a time, or no TV until such and such a time, the rules of the house apply to the children I look after and to my child.
Right.
Is good. It's, you know, it's good for my child to learn, okay, different rules, different houses, different families. You know, but she was two, she'd just turned two when we left Dubai, so then she spent most of her life with one family who I'm with now. And it's the same thing, it's their rules, it's their house. It is difficult because you're doing a job still.
Mm-hmm.
You're still providing one-on-one care for two children, three children, however many you have. But then you have your own child there. And you have to set an example for all of those children together. But you also can't sort of let your own child get away with stuff. Or,
right.
You know, I find it hard. At the end of a hard day, and I think I was so hard on her today. I expected so much more of her in terms of behavior than I would if we were just sitting at home playing today.
Right.
But the other side of that is, she because she's been coming to work from such a young age, she definitely understands what mummy does for work.
Mm-hmm.
She has learned, you know, I never have to worry about if I'm picking up a smaller one. And right now, when I bring my child to work, I've got, you know, they're each 1 year apart, basically.
Oh, okay.
But she's learned from a very early age. So they're in a couple of weeks, it'll be a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 5-year-old all together.
Those are like my favorite ages.
Yeah, sometimes they're like a whirlwind, and then sometimes they're just like three little angels, you know, little
For
halos.
Sure. That's why I love those ages, because they're so up in the air.
Yeah. It's great. It's great. At the beginning, when she was 2.5 and we started with my current family, I could describe it as like putting out tiny fires all day long.
All the time. Yep, for sure.
Little one was 1.5. Sorry, one. No, she wasn't even one yet. So the little one was 1, and mine was 2, and the older one was 3. The older one has always been great at being able to pause, let me deal with my own child or the little one, and then come back in. And she's so smart that way. So the dynamic of the kids also makes a difference in how you can discipline your own child. But I am tougher on her because I feel like I need, you know, I love you, you're my daughter, and I want to do everything for you, but I need you to behave at this level so I can go around and do all the other things that I need to do and have all the, you know, I mean, teaching moments when you've got your own child and other people's children every single word comes out of your mouth becomes a teaching moment because you're modeling for your child, you're teaching another family's children, you're trying to get them to communicate together and be kind and share. And it's so, some days it is the most exhausting thing. I mean, you're being paid to do the hardest job in the world, and you're also not being paid to do the hardest job in the world
for
together
sure. For sure.
In one day. And, you know, not to put anybody off doing it because I can't. It's a gift. It's a privilege and it's a gift to be able to bring my daughter and for her to have the experiences that I see her have and build the relationship she's built. But it isn't easy. And I don't know, because I've never had, I didn't nanny a 2-month-old when my daughter was 2. So I don't know how it's different for people that have small children and then have their own small child as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for the most part, these are the rules of the house. That's how you behave. And I need you to sort of step up a little bit more because mummy has to help this person with this. And you need to be patient. And when I'm done with that, I'll be able to give you some of my time. And, you know, you change your activities slightly so there are more activities that can be done all together.
Right.
Whereas, you know, you don't focus right now because the oldest one has just started school. We have more littler activities to do because now I've got the 2 little ones instead of the 2 big ones.
Right.
So it changes, but yeah, I would say in general, I'm harder on my child than I am on the, you know.
And I'm curious about if there is, you know, how a lot of children, you hear from their teachers and things that they were angels all day and then, you know, they come home after school and you're like, well, where is that? Does that happen with your daughter of she is behaving at, you know, this higher level when you're at work? And then when you come home, is there ever pushback or just like this kind of like, I'm going to let it all hang out, I'm going to take my hair down aspect?
No, because for my child, and I still, you know, 4.5 years in, have not tuned myself to this. It all has to do with how hungry she is.
Oh.
she is. They used to say in our police training that the best thing you could carry in your belt isn't a baton or a pen. It's a banana.
Oh, my gosh.
Because the best thing you can do when someone, you know, you're outside of a pub and someone's drunk and a bit leery, stuff a banana in their mouth, and that will 9 times out of 10 sort of bring it down. and that... bring it to a level that's manageable. And I find myself, you know, with all my nanny tips in my head, like, dude, this is the right thing to do. I just need to give her a piece of fruit or a cereal bar or a piece of cheese, and she'll be fine. And then she'll go, okay, mommy. But in general, for my child, if she's been a rat bag all day, it'll carry on. It won't sort of, you know, I don't sort of get it all dumped on me at the end of the day. If she's been really good in the day, it kind of, you know, because then you're praising them and like, oh, you know, it was really good. Well, you helped me do that, and that meant I could help this child learn this thing today. Thanks. And, you know, don't get me wrong, she takes great delight in, we call it our nanny finger, when you have to point seriously at somebody. And she'll take out that nanny finger and she'll say their name. She'll go, you didn't know, you're not listening to me. That's not how I told you to do it. And she'll, it is quite funny to see her copy me. Usually it's funny. Sometimes I have to go, okay, now you're not in charge.
Right.
You think you are, but you know, this is not for you to take control of. And she's pretty good. But I think when you do start bringing them to work with you like that from such a young age, they learn so much by watching what you're doing, because your own child doesn't really see you be a mom.
Right.
Day-to-day, you just see that's what mommy does. But when you take your child to work with you and they see you helping to raise somebody else's kids and they see how you communicate, you know, unless you're a daycare worker or a teacher and the kids kind of get a little bit of a glimpse of it, it's, they know you so well. So they know when your serious voice is on, they know when you know, they might get away with getting a Kinder Egg from the shop or sorry, you guys don't have Kinder Eggs in the state.
I know, because those are outlawed, but
yes,
not actual dangerous things.
Yep.
Anyway.
She's pretty level, but, you know, that's my own child. I don't know about other people. I'm sure there are other moms listening right now going, no, that's right, not what happens to my
son. Well, and I love that it's around food. Your daughter and I are kindred spirits. I've had boyfriends in the past carry around granola bars because they're like, hey, you need to eat this.
It's a bit like, for a lot of little kids, not just my child, it's a bit like when I used to take, when we go to IKEA, I have to feed my husband before we go, make sure he's sat and had a cup of coffee before we go in, and then we can complete that activity.
Yes.
And I wish I say it out loud, I'm like, she was... You know, I said to you at the beginning, she was terrible today, and put me in a terrible frame of mind because she was just falling to bits over everything, and it's my own fault. If I'd given her something else to eat, another snack, she would have been fine.
Right.
You know, you still forget. No matter
but
how
we
many
also,
years you've been
nagging. You know, we also all need days that are rainy emotionally because they help us appreciate the sunny days.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are some things that surprised you about taking your kid with you?
Right. So this is the one I have a list for, Martha.
Awesome. I love it.
Okay. In no particular order, the bond she formed with my nanny kids and with the parents I worked for, I didn't expect, I always hoped to have a child that I could sort of help be independent and want to go to people and be confident, but the bonds she built with each of those sets, and, you know, when she was very small especially, it really was, I'd sort of stand there and go, whoa, this is cool.
Yeah. I didn't know.
This is really neat. We had one of my clients when she was tiny, my longest client in Dubai. She's from Belarus. He's from South Africa. The nanny was from Kyrgyzstan, I believe. And she used to pick her up and sing Russian, like, lullabies to her. And my daughter would just be, she'd just be mesmerized, just like, whoa. And That was really quite special. And the boys, boy nanny kids, are always the funniest because they're just like, whoa, she did this, she moved, she blinked, you know. So the kind of relationship was a surprise. Mm. The other side of that was how hard it is to leave. And I can remember when we left Dubai, I remember the last day with my sort of longest nanny family. My daughter's in the car seat and she's waving out the window like, bye, you know, just turned two, has no idea, she'll probably never see these kids again.
Right.
And children, and I can remember the little girl was standing with her mom and her older brother, and I think she was 4 at the time, crying. Aww. And as I looked in the rear view mirror, I could see her face, and it was, oh, it was horrible. And I could see my daughter's face, and it just crushed me that you have no idea.
Right. You
know, that child does, but you just, you know, because you're in Dubai, you might not see these people again. They're in Australia now, so we probably never will. And that was the closest little girl she had up until that point. And, you know, you've chosen to sort of break that apart for your child. That was hard. I wasn't expecting that to be so, you know, leaving your nanny family is hard anyway.
Right.
But taking your child away from that is hard as well. I was surprised at how helpful nanny kids with a baby can be. Like, you know, equally they'd stand there and go, oh, she did a poo, that's the grossest poo ever. And, you know, they'd kind of marvel at it, but they'd also do things like, when I was holding her and I needed, can you bring me that bottle? Can you bring me the diaper bag? Would you help me with this? You know, they're super helpful once you bring your own child. They just can't do enough, and they want to be independent and they want to be doing some things, and that's really nice. I was surprised at how much the nanny parent, my mom bosses and dad bosses cared for my own child.
Yeah.
You know, they come to the door and they're like, hi, and they pick her up right out of the stroller and cuddle her. And that was really something to sort of see how, yeah, and in most cases, those parents aren't going to have any more babies, so they're quite happy to see a little baby and be able to hand it back. But
right.
Feel so much love, and it you know, it's great having your own child and having somebody else love it. It's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't prepared for how you know, people that was my boss, you know, my bosses would love my child that way. And the end result is that, you know, she left. In Dubai, we left 10 brothers and sisters. Now she's got, you know, 4 extra grandparents and aunts and uncles. And, you know, she sees the family of my current nanny kids. And they're so kind to her. And they seem so genuinely interested in what's going on. And they'll laugh at her and talk to her. And that is quite, I didn't really think about that side of things when I was, you know, putting all the pieces together and thinking about how it would work.
Yeah.
And then you get great hand-me-downs.
Oh, right.
That's a lovely bonus. And I think the one that pops out for me was the Dior dress that I was given by a client in Dubai that was, oh, we don't wear this anymore, so you can have it. And you know, I'm holding the most expensive piece of clothing I've probably ever owned.
Oh, that my was, gosh, you know, yeah.
Lovely. And certainly if you're a family, if you have the chance to travel and, you know, that's a different thing as well. I think it depends on what the family is that you sort of end up working with. But that you get a lot of help because they've got all the gear. They've been there, done that. Here, do you need an extra, you know, umbrella stroller because you're going on vacation? Here's ours. Or we don't need this baby wash tub anymore, you know, all the sorts of things that, you know, now I'm trying to get rid of from my own child.
Right.
It's nice to have someone to give it to. So
and someone that you care about and are gonna see them benefit from it. That's such a lovely way to pass things along.
And I think watching my child sort of, I was surprised to see my daughter copy me in a parenting way. And I also didn't, because when my daughter was coming to work with me when she was tiny, my older kids were doing homework and I was doing a lot of tutoring.
Mm-hmm.
So she would sit at the table or sit in the high chair, and we'd give her a pencil, which she'd usually chew on, and a piece of paper, and we'd sort of, everybody would do homework together. My child would have her homework, and it's pretty basic, you know, like it wasn't homework. We just, then she was included in the activity. But then the end result was that she has always held a pencil the correct way.
Oh, yeah, because she saw.
Just watched. And admittedly, you know, there were a lot of children who had ripped pages and who had a big, you know, sort of one-year-old scratch right across their homework that they, you know, the kids were really good about it and really lovely and patient because she wanted to get involved. But she learned a lot sitting at the table to eat, sitting at the table to do your homework, sitting together to read a book. You know, she learned a lot from the other kids, and I hadn't sort of thought about how she would follow their example, because you don't know it when they're 2 months. It's not until they're 3 and 4 and you go, oh yeah, she learned that from, you know, I still pick out little behaviors and I think, where did she get that from? Oh, it was, you know, we did that thing, that one activity, or we went there and she somehow remembers that. So yeah, lots of surprises, but all, apart from having to leave, all lovely, you know, really happy surprises.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And then what are some things that you wish you could go back and tell yourself when you started taking your daughter to work? And some of that might have been covered by the surprise question, but just curious.
Probably just to stay more relaxed than I was. I'm an organized routine person, so it was extra pressure to, you know, make sure we had a good functioning routine and we ticked all the boxes and did all the planning and, you know, okay, work's going to change, so I need to change the bottle feeding schedule by an hour so I'm not stuck in traffic with a client. Like, the preparation was good, but I could have been a little bit more relaxed about it and perhaps, you know, even now, I could probably be more relaxed about my discipline with her when we're at work. She's a bit older, she's understanding more. You know, these things, it's a, when you bring your child to work, the job changes completely from the day you start bringing them to the day they go to school. Right. And it's always, you know, it really changes at a fast pace, and the things you have to think about and prepare for. But I wish I had sort of just sort of, I wish I'd listened to your podcast when I started going back to work. That would have probably given me all the tools I needed to go, yeah, okay, this is, you know, I've had a great time bringing her, but I could have been a bit more relaxed, perhaps.
Yeah, but that's all part of it, and I think that's so lovely. That you see that, but then also that you were, you know, out in front of your thought process and things like that. And I completely understand. I, you know, have had a lot of changes in my life lately, and one of my ways of dealing with that is potentially being overly rigid about scheduling and things like that. So
it's comforting
totally
to have those walls, isn't it? I think
it is. It is. And we can be grateful for them at the time and then also recognize that they maybe aren't serving us anymore and let them go. But but yeah, that's so lovely. And I think that that's really good advice for anyone that is thinking about doing this of taking a child to work, or I know I had someone write in, and I'm blanking on who it was, but somebody wrote in and said, you know, that they had been nannying for a couple years and they were trying to decide if they wanted to continue to do it and make a career out of it, or if it was just going to be kind of a stepping stone for them. And this was an issue that they were really struggling with. If you're listening, I hope this was helpful to you. Because it was certainly helpful to me. You know, I'm nowhere near having my own children, but I think that this has a lot of really good information, even for potentially nanny shares of, like, you know, how to navigate that.
Yeah.
Things like that. So.
Yeah, it applies to it. It kind of covers a few bases.
It really does.
And the main thing is, we're in an industry and we're in a job where you don't, you know, you don't get pregnant, go to HR, fill in your paperwork, and some guy from head office calls you and says, okay, this is your date, and, you know, it's a different industry, and it's a very personal sort of care. It's just quite different, you know, so it's got to be sort of, you have to approach it differently and look at it in a different way than most of our friends, you know, who work, what I say as regular jobs, but, you know what I mean?
Right, yes.
It is different, so it comes with a different set of, you know, being pregnant and having a baby and bringing it to work. There's no other job, unless you work in a daycare, there's no other job that you can sort of do this.
Yeah.
And it's a lot to get, you know, my mother-in-law, bless her, I think she was, you know, very much of the, how are you going to do this?
Yep.
You know, because she, and if you have a child and you're listening and then you think maybe I want to, because, you know, we all know nannies that have done it. They have a child first and then they take on children to sort of supplement their income or to fill that gap until kindergarten starts. I would say that's a whole different podcast and that's a whole different way of doing things. I'm sort of more, I committed myself to being a nanny and love the job and are passionate about it. And then I'm equally as passionate about my own family, but that's sort of the part two. You know, the part one is my job as a nanny since the day I started and what I've put into that. And then now we're adding this extra bonus, which happens to be the other biggest part of my life.
Right.
You know, so it's a lot to think about. And I think it's quite scary if you're younger and going into it, or if you've only had, you know, less than sort of 6 or 7 years experience doing the job of a nanny. It's, you know, like, there's a lot of questions and there's no rules written down anywhere about this is how it works.
So true.
You know,
I mean, that's kind of like our whole job. It's like,
exactly.
There's no, like, I mean, if you do these things, then you're a good nanny. No.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no book and there's no, oh, the government instructions on this are, so you have to do your homework with maternity leave and that side of things and then communicate. And if you're worried about it and you can find another nanny who has their child and brings them to work, the best thing is to sit down, go and meet them for a cup of coffee and have a chat when they haven't got their kids with them, preferably, and, you know, and ask your questions, like, you know, people, you know, I'm happy to answer questions anytime. If somebody's like, oh, how did you manage this? Or how do you navigate this thing? Or I'm worried about this. You know, if you ask 100 questions about something, you'll get 2 good answers that you'll be able to go away with. But if you didn't ask those questions, you have no idea. So,
you know,
ask them all and find what you need out of other people's experience and learn. You know, learn from my mistakes. Hopefully somebody's learning something going, oh, yeah, I don't want to do that. She did that wrong. Or, oh, okay. You know, I don't want to move a 2-year-old over, you know, 14-hour flight and then change jobs. And, you know, there's, but it all, if you think positively about it, I really do feel it all comes together in a good way.
I agree. And I think the really lovely thing about our profession is because there is no rule book, every nanny is offering something unique and wonderful to their nanny families. And if part of that is a friend that you bring with you for your nanny kids and your own child, and, you know, I think that is so valuable. And if you can find families that also see that value, I think it's really lovely.
Yeah.
So, well, wonderful. Well, you mentioned that if someone has questions that they can potentially reach out to you, where or how would they do that?
Well, I've actually got an Instagram account that I've recently started, so bear with me, everybody. It's quite new and it's in its early stages, and it's at the Nanny Knows, all one word, which I think, Martha, you can put links on through your Chronicles of Narnia.
I definitely will. They're already down in the show notes. Look down.
Right. Cool. So, yeah, if anybody has any questions, parents as well, if you're looking at the Instagram account, which is sort of set up to sort of help parents, but also I'm sure there's enough nanny tips in there that nannies might, you know, find something useful. But if you have a question, you can message me on there, and I'm happy to, even if it's not about bringing your child to work, anything about bicycles. Bicycles are my nanny kryptonite, so don't ask me about bikes because I don't know. But
okay,
pretty much anything else, I'm happy to help if I can.
That's such a fun fact. I love that. I also am not great at bicycling.
Or bicycles. I'm glad that's nice to hear.
So, yeah, I get so scared. I need for nothing and no one to be around me when I'm bicycling, and then I'm happy.
Yeah.
But that is so rare, especially in a big city like Chicago. So I just don't. Well, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that offer. Is there anything else that you would like to share or anything like that before we wrap up?
No, I think just if you're thinking about telling your, if you are pregnant and you're thinking about telling your family or when to tell them, you know, you're jumping into the biggest adventure of your life already. So just jump again and talk to the parents. And, you know, it's this, you'll look back and think, that was like the easiest part that I was so worried about. I really, really think it seems so scary and daunting, and it ends up being the easiest thing ever. And if it ends up being the worst thing ever, you're not working for the right family, and it's not right for you anyway.
Very good point.
You know, just the right family will respond with a hug.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll know. And you'll know. And you're emotional now anyway, so.
Right.
You know, take the hugs where you can get them. That's what I say.
Yep. Get that oxytocin releasing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I love that. Well, wonderful. Awesome. So we end each episode with a funny, cute, uplifting story, and Erin has brought one for us.
Yeah, I have. And it's a controversial one because when you're telling stories about twins, I always feel like you kind of have to be fair to both.
Right.
But my very first ever twins, when I moved to London in the UK, the mum was a teacher. She was going off to her first day at work. It was my second day in the country, first full day with the kids. And I thought, I'm going to be a great nanny. We're going to go down to the river and we're going to feed the ducks. That's what nannies do. And that seems like a great, fun, four-year-old friendly activity. And we got a bag of crust and went down, walked together and walked down to the little river by their house. And, you know, and I can use, I'll say their names. Martha, stay away from the edge. Louie, stay away from the edge. And yes, Erin, okay, fine. And what happens? Of course, Louie falls in. The river was like, you know, like half, it wasn't very deep. He wasn't going to go anywhere and he wasn't going to do anything other than get wet. I grabbed him as he was going in and pulled him up through a bush, but and North American and British nannies might appreciate this. I didn't know what stinging nettles were because they don't really grow in Canada. We have poison ivy, as I'm sure you guys do in the States. Not stinging nettles. So as I pulled him up through this bush, which I thought was just a bush, it turned out to be a big bush of stinging nettles. So as I pulled him out, he's screaming like, you know, going ballistic. It's okay, it's okay. You know, like, it's all right. You're okay. You just got your shoes a bit wet. It's all fine. It's no problem. Pulled up his shirt, and he's just covered in this rash, and I'm going, oh, my God. While at the same time, his sister's going, well, I didn't know, but in the UK, if you have stinging nettles, you rub a dock leaf on it to help get the sting away. Oh. So Martha's standing there going, duck leaves, duck leaves. I'm like, shh, stop it, I'm trying to help your brother. Duck leaves, and it's all, I'm going to get fired, I'm going to get sent back to Canada, oh, this is the worst day ever. So I kind of got the gist of what had happened. We got home, and all I could remember from Poison Ivy was pour milk on it. So I got him in the bath and poured all the milk that was in the house on him, which he got upset about because he really loved milk. And he's like, you're wasting the milk. And he's, the poor thing's got this rash. The mum was great. Thank you, Philippa, if you're listening. She was so brilliant because I was losing my stuff. I was just like, oh, this is horrible. Many years later, he came up to me. I don't know what we were doing, and he was much older, and we met up, you know, years later, like you do with your nanny kids. And he went, kind of nudged me, and he said, hey, remember that time when you chucked me in the river and pulled me through the stinging nettle? And just, you know, as your nanny kids know how to do, press that one button that, you know, just makes you melt. And incidentally, Martha is off to Oxford this year, and Louie's off to Nottingham University, and they've all grown up, and they're, you know, we have plenty of funny stories. But if you move to a different country, do your homework on what plants are poisonous.
Yeah, I would never have thought of that.
No, and you know, I was looking for poison ivy and things I knew, but stinging nettles, nannies. If you move to the UK, find out what a stinging nettle looks like
before you go. That's so funny. Also, just quick sidebar. Erin can share their names because they are over 18 and they gave her permission.
Yeah.
So that is why the names are in there. Just if anyone's listening and they're like, wait a second. That is hilarious. And yeah, I would have lost my mind. You never know what you're going to do in an emergency until you're in it, but it threw a lot at you. So well done.
And that was good on my first day. You know, this is when you realize whether you have a good mom boss or a hard one.
Yeah.
And she was brilliant. Oh. And I was, you know, I was a bit beside myself by the time she came home.
That's so funny.
It ended up really well, and I had three lovely years with them, and still in touch with them, and they're fantastic kids, and I'm glad I still am able to speak to them and, you know, find out how they're doing and what they're up to.
Yeah.
14 years later.
That's so wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Erin. This was wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Martha. I really enjoyed it.
Me too. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Chronicles of Narnia is produced and hosted by Martha Reddick. Artwork by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Narnia and on Twitter at Narnia Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnarnia@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.